talking about the four most popular words, or I think the four words we love the most at Christmas time this week, and that is love, hope, peace, and joy. And I'm going to continue along with peace this morning. This is Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I welcome you to the program. I'd like you to know as we get going that you can always find articles about different things that we talk about on the program on the Facebook site, Trust the Bible. I would encourage you to go there and join the group so you can keep up to date with some of the things we're talking about and join in the discussion yourself. If you sign up before Christmas, I've got a drawing that's coming up to win a free study Bible up to a $50 value to help you get off to a good start in your Bible reading in the new year. And study Bibles are great. They just really help with understanding and really getting into what God's Word is all about. The Bible promises that if you meditate on His Word, if you carefully pay attention to it, if you put it into practice in your life, you will be prosperous and successful. You can read that in Joshua 1:8. I'm going to be talking about that a lot more in the beginning of the year. So I'd encourage you to go and sign up for that. It's on Facebook. Just search for Trust the Bible. You'll find the group there. We're trying to get over 500 members. Well, I talked about love this week as one thing that we obviously think about at Christmas because God loves us by sending Jesus. And this is the foundation, therefore, for all the other things that we have to be hopeful for in Christ. In fact, it's the basis of our hope. And then because we know God loves us and because we have hope for what God is doing in the world and the direction the world is going in, we can have peace. And we have different kinds of peace that God promises. There's peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's peace with others. We can have peaceful relationships with others and can pursue that and can pursue that as we're given power by Jesus Christ to learn to forgive others even when it's hard and to love others even when they don't love us. And this brings about peace in our life. Then there's world peace, and that's probably what people think of the most when they think of peace at Christmas time, although really I think it's peace with God that should be the first and foremost thing in our minds. Often we think, well, we want peace in the Middle East, we want peace with all these nuclear arms situations around the world, and you know, we don't want war to break out. But much more fundamental of a problem that we need solved is peace with God. We need to know that when we stand before Him on Judgment Day, He will declare us perfectly pure and clean and holy and righteous. And that's not going to happen unless He gives it to us, unless we receive the free gift He offers through Jesus Christ. But let's talk about peace on the world, because the Bible does say a lot about it. In fact, this is one of the things we have to be hopeful about. As much as there is no peace in the world today, there will be peace on earth, as we sing at Christmas time, in the future because of what God is doing. And so we look forward to that. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says, "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." Basically, everyone's going to take all their weapons. Now, I mean, in Isaiah's time, they were thinking of swords and spears. But whatever the case may be, when this event happens, people are going to say, we have no need for weapons anymore. Let's melt them down. Let's use them to make farm equipment or, you know, any other nice thing that would be useful in helping us do nice things for each other, not to fight each other, not to kill each other. So that's a beautiful imagery, beating swords into plowshares. Isaiah goes on, "Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Wow, to walk in the light of the Lord, that means peace. And this comes when He will judge between the nations. Who is He? This is the Messiah. This is the theme running throughout the book of Isaiah, is there's this ruler who is coming in the future who will rule in a way that brings peace to the whole world, in a way that brings prosperity to the whole world, in a way that transforms anything we can imagine happening apart from Him, and that Him is Christ. Isaiah goes on to describe Him. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." It's just such a beautiful promise, a beautiful verse. Not only Wonderful Counselor, but Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. This is a God and man combined in some way that we don't understand until Christ comes, a God-man who reigns on earth and the nations come to him and he settles all disputes. There's no more fighting amongst each other. It's let's go talk to Jesus Christ and he will tell us what to do and we'll do it and we will prosper and live in peace together. So in a sense, when we talk about Christmas, we're talking about not just celebrating that Jesus has come, but that Jesus is going to come again, that Jesus has a yet future coming. He's not here in all of his fullness. We've seen a glimpse of the kingdom of God. We see in part the kingdom of God today as we join and follow Christ and join in committing ourselves to living the way he calls on us to live and to following him as Lord and Savior. But we will see it in full when he comes and returns to earth to completely rule in his kingdom that he is establishing and will establish and set up. So we look forward to that day. Advent is a time of waiting for the coming of Christ. Advent refers to those 4 weeks heading up to Christmas. And it is not a re-waiting for the first coming of Christ. We talk about the first coming of Christ a lot, but really it is entering into that period of reminding ourselves that the earth isn't like it should be, that we're waiting for our King to come to make things right. And that is when we will have peace on earth, not before then, only when he comes again. And the fact that we know God loves us and we have hope for the future, and therefore we know that peace is available between God right now, that peace is something we can work at with other men, that Jesus empowers us to do, but also that peace in a complete sense worldwide is coming. All of these things contribute to our joy, and that's the fourth word I'm going to look at. In fact, probably the most popular Christmas song out there is Joy to the World. And Joy to the World is a song written by Isaac Watts that was based on the second coming of Christ. When Isaac Watts wrote the song, he wasn't even thinking about Jesus' birth. He wasn't thinking about this being somehow a Christmas song. He was writing a wonderful hymn about waiting for and longing for the second coming of Jesus. But it fits right in with the Christmas season, because that's really what we're doing at Christmas, is celebrating Jesus' birth as a sort of way to point us to the fact that we know Jesus is coming again. And so I love Joy to the World. Joy is the ultimate result of the other three words that we've been talking about. We can have joy in the midst of any circumstance. We can have joy even if life isn't going well from a human, worldly-centered perspective, meaning our job isn't going well, our health isn't going well, our relationships that matter to us aren't going well, but yet our relationship with God is dependable. Our mission God has sent us on cannot be thwarted by what anyone can do to us. And our joy that we can have in knowing who God is and what he is doing in our own life and in the world, no one can take that away from us. That's why Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." What a wonderful thing for Paul to write here, because he was in difficult circumstances. From a worldly viewpoint, we would look at Paul's life right now and say, wow, what a terrible life. You must be miserable. He's been thrown in jail. He is awaiting trial. He is, you know, living in miserable conditions. It's dark. There's a small cell. He's got chains on his hands 24 hours a day. And he doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And yet he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And when you understand what Paul understood about who Jesus is and what Jesus had done for him, you too can have joy no matter your circumstance. You can rejoice in the Lord. That might seem like pie in the sky, far-fetched kind of thing, but it is true. The more you see who Christ is, the more you see how real that promise is. I'll continue to talk about joy tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.